From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour. And as we move on into Holy Week and in anticipation of the Easter Triduum and then the Easter Sunday, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Appreciate you all being with us. Indeed, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we are glad to welcome in Brother David Coretti, who is a De La Salle Christian Brothers, a Christian brother. Brother David, welcome to the Bishop's Hour.
Thank you so much. It's really great to be here, be with you.
Thank you so much. You are in residence at beautiful St. Mary's College. Is that correct?
Correct. Moraga, California.
You must have done
something. I am currently actually walking on campus.
You must have done something really good in your youth or childhood. What a beautiful place that is.
Well, hey, you know, we came to Moraga after being in Oakland and San Francisco about 100 years ago.
Uh-huh.
We're looking forward to celebrating our 100 years here on the Moraga campus. And I have to say it's a special place for me, as this is the school, the De La Salle School, from which I graduated as a student. So I was an undergraduate here and joined the brothers after.
Oh, wonderful. I remember when my oldest daughter was trying to pick colleges, we went down to tour St. Mary's on a Saturday morning, and it was the rainiest day in the history of the world. And she ended up not
Noah's
going
Ark
to
was
St.
floating
Mary's.
By.
to this day, she says, "Oh, that's a really rainy place." And I said, "No, just on that day it was raining."
Such a beautiful campus.
And of course, everybody was watching the Gales the other day on March Madness and didn't have the result they wanted, but they sure, it was just nice to see St. Mary's across the jersey on my TV screen.
Very true. Very true. I think that the basketball team is something that so many in our community get behind. We're very proud of all the work that they do. And they really are a subset of our student community. So
yeah,
I go to many student events, and the students are the center of everything that we do, not only here at the college, but in every one of our LaSallian schools.
You know, the chancellor where I went to college once said that the sports were the front porch of the college, you know, and that was his opinion. And I mean, a lot of people would have a different opinion. But in many ways,
okay.
You know,
there they are
on national television, and just seeing the way they treated each other, the way they treated their opponents, they were having a tough time and they were losing the game. I was so proud to say that's my church, I associate with these guys. It was just
that's wonderful.
Yeah, it was just. It was wonderful, and they've been such ambassadors to the community, and people say, St. Mary's, where is that, and who are they, you know? And I think a lot of people probably Google St. Mary's and go, yeah, maybe I want to go to college there.
We hope so. Hey, yes. We can always use more students, because the fact is that this special place changes lives each and every day.
Yes, indeed.
And so the more students, the better.
Yes.
We hope to be able to work with so many people. So
talk a little bit about your work and what you do. Talk a little bit about the LaSallian, if you will, the De La Salle Christian Brothers community.
You got it. So currently I serve as the vocation director for our Western province, which is called the District of San Francisco, New Orleans. It comprises Washington, Oregon, California, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, Colorado, and Louisiana. So that whole western swath of the United States. We have 18 high schools, one university, St. Mary's College, and then we also have three pre-high schools, because they actually comprise different grade levels, some pre-K to 7, others 5 to 8, you name it. So we are an international congregation of lay brothers, and have been exercising an educational ministry since the 1680s in 80 countries around the world. We're a pretty unique congregation. I'd like to say we keep our heads down because we're so focused on the students who've been entrusted to our care. And we truly find the educational ministry to be the way that we are best brothers to one another and to our colleagues and to our students.
Do the people in Louisiana understand why they're in the Western region?
Like many religious congregations, it was a merger of provinces.
Sure.
So, and we have some vibrant schools down there. I love visiting my LaSallian family down in Covington, New Orleans, and Metairie. So,
and Metairie especially. Yeah. Tell us what LaSallian education, what does that mean?
There are many different ways in which people describe LaSallian education, but basically it starts with the life of our founder, St. John Baptist de La Salle, who himself was proclaimed the patron saint of teachers in 1950. He founded this congregation with a group of men who wanted to dedicate their lives to the education of young people. And that we feel, even to this day, that the giving of our lives as educators, being called to that classroom, is worth the very fiber of our being. And we love working with students. We love working to improve their lives, to open their minds, because LaSallian education is accomplished with the spirituality that de La Salle and his early brothers kind of surfaced for our church.
Mm-hmm.
LaSallian education is done or accomplished as an environment. We're not a project-based product-based entity. We don't look at saying that our students are necessarily becoming LaSallian because it is the students who are supported and assisted by being educated within a LaSallian environment. I think that's a better way of putting it.
Very good.
So,
yeah, go ahead.
For us, the founder himself did tell us in his meditations, he wrote profusely to our brothers, and they're read widely by everybody in the LaSallian family now. He wrote in support of education being an endeavor where we are called to touch the hearts of the students who are entrusted to our care, and thereby open them up to the great possibilities that they are going to become in God's great plan for the world. And that's vocation, right?
Right.
So that's kind of where even my own area at the moment, as I serve in this capacity, exists.
Tell us what you do as vocations director.
Well, there are many things I think that I have the opportunity and the privilege to do. First and foremost, I get a chance to visit our 20-something schools to help students understand that their vocation is one of the greatest gifts, if not the greatest gift, that God has given them in their life. And that discernment with God in their life is something that is going to deepen what God hopes for them, what God is going to love them into being, because it takes everything about who we are. So I think you can understand that I'm pretty passionate about helping students realize that, helping them see, you know, in these times where sometimes students are going through an awful lot in our world.
Oh boy.
They are, yeah. Our current students are working with mental health issues. They're working with questions of their being. They're working with questions that are seeking meaning, because young people want to make an impact. And so we approach them with hope. We approach them with acceptance. And we approach them in a way that says, you get to discover this, because this is something that you and God discover together. Vocation is not... God, it's funny enough, God doesn't work top-down with us, does at all. God works from inside out.
Yep.
You know, God works with the very fiber of who we are, because that's who God's created us to be. So I get a chance to visit all these schools and share this notion of vocation with them and inspire them towards that. And, you know, that might mean that they end up inspired, I don't know, by means of me, but they end up inspired to be the future educators of the world, the future people of ethics and values as they seek to participate in the world of business or medicine or what. But that's partially what I get to do. Secondarily, I get a chance to walk with young men in discernment of our vocation, whether they be college or post-college age. I get a chance to hear their story, what inspires them about the brothers, really try to discern with them whether they are called to the life of a De La Salle brother and to the ministry of the classroom, because our brothers have that dual vocation. You know, it is both as educator and as consecrated religious that we find ourselves, kind of, we meet in that wing of things. De La Salle himself and those early brothers made a very intentional decision that we were going to give our entire lives to the endeavor of education, because he himself, being a priest, felt that it was somewhat too much to ask. He himself felt spread too thin. And so he decided with those early brothers that we were to remain brothers. And that fraternal spirit, I think, truly infuses the communities that we build in our schools. And that's both co-ed or single gender schools, regardless.
So you have both.
So I get it. We do. Most of our schools on the West Coast in the Western Province, or District San Francisco, New Orleans, are co-ed, definitely. Mm-hmm. And they've been co-ed since the 1970s or so, when many schools went co-ed.
Yeah, and you're including, of course, Christian Brothers High School here in Sacramento, which is just
yes,
wow, the pride of the community. I know we have just so many excellent Catholic schools here. We have Cristo Rey, we have St. Francis, we have Jesuit, and Christian Brothers
absolutely
has been a jewel of this community for decades. Really, one of the oldest.
Yeah, almost 150 years.
Yeah, it's
so I'm pleased. One of the oldest. I'm just finishing. Yeah, one of the oldest schools in the Sacramento Diocese, without a question.
Yeah, and even and west of the Mississippi.
Am a product.
I think. Yeah, yep.
Truly. I myself am a product of one of the Sacramento Diocese schools. I went to St. Patrick St. Vincent High School in Vallejo, California.
Oh, wow.
Grew up there and was certainly formed. My father currently serves on the board. It is a wonderful place. That definitely changes lives as well. But currently I serve on the board at Christian Brothers Sacramento, and it's been a wonderful chance for me to get to know that community and the love that so many people have for it in new ways constantly. So it's a wonderful place, being led by Dr. Crystal Leroy and Dr. David Perry, who themselves are consummate educators. And I can't speak more highly of the work that is done by the faculty staff of Christian Brothers High School.
Yeah, both of my sister's kids, my niece and nephew, went to Christian Brothers High School, and just really, to this day, is probably 15 years or so ago, or maybe even a little more. To this day, they rave about it.
Yeah, no kidding. It's a special place.
Kickstarted them into wonderful careers. Tell us a little bit about your own journey to where you are
sure.
now.
Sure. Well, I mean, I grew up in Vallejo. Vallejo always, it continues to be a wonderful community. My parents live in the same house that me and my siblings were born into. Uh-huh. It's kind of funny. It just happened that way. And from there, I decided that I wanted to really, I discerned earlier on that I wanted to be an educator. Mm-hmm. I think that when people ask me about my even call as a teacher, that I can pinpoint in third grade when I was a teacher for Halloween.
Wow. You know, a teacher for Halloween.
Our dreams, a teacher for Halloween.
How did you dress?
I like to say my glasses were fake. Oh, my perfect little eyeball sweater on. I had a cute bow tie. You know, and I had fake glasses at the time. They're now not fake anymore.
I have been through a million Halloweens. I have six kids, so that you multiply six times a million. I've seen billions of Halloween costumes, and I don't ever remember anybody being a teacher.
Well, I guess I can be the first time for anything.
That's,
you know,
great.
In many ways. But then again, I didn't end up as a Jedi Knight either, so that was another Halloween costume. Oh. Anyhow, I think it started there. You know, maybe it started with that dream. And I went through St. Pat's Vallejo, St. Patrick St. Vincent, pardon me, don't want to forget that. That's good.
How long ago did they merge?
They did. Oh, in the late 1980s.
Okay.
Smart move.
Yeah.
Very smart move. And I could go into, I'm a Catholic school geek, you know, and I'm also, I have a particular interest and expertise in board governance. I did some doctoral work in that.
Oh, wow. At St. Mary's?
Actually at the University of San Francisco in the Catholic Educational Leadership Program.
Now, that's not a LaSallian school.
No, that's all right. That's all right. You know, we're wider than we – there's ample opportunity to learn everywhere.
Isn't there? Yeah.
And that's the best part about Catholic education.
Yeah. USF has such a wonderful –
I went to St. Mary's College. Yeah. I came here to St. Mary's College for my undergraduate work and was wonderfully supported by professors and brothers and my own peers who were here, you know, who loved me for who I am and challenged me for what I needed to be in great ways. And I worked in campus ministry offices, both here at the college and in high school with my great mentor, Luis Santiago. And ministry was an intimate part of my life. And so when I was looking and discerning what I was going to do next, you know, I kind of had to say to myself, well, you need to think about who you are and what you want to be. You know, you want to be an educator. You have in front of you these amazing men who have been educators for over 300 years. Now, I do, of course, jokingly like to say, now, some of our brothers look like they've been teaching for 300 years, but the tradition goes back that far. And I felt a duty to explore that. And I knew that if it wasn't going to be for me, that I was going to be fine. I was going to be able to find a job, find another way of serving God, find another way of being a person of faith in the world. But I felt at home with the brothers. I felt like I always belonged at the table, at the dining room table, when there were good banter going on, serious conversations about education, about everything, you know. So I felt that I belonged. I jumped into a classroom at actually Justin Siena High School as a student teacher. And I was supported by other teachers in ways that showed me that, maybe I can do this. So I took it year by year, because as all religious do, it's a year by year commitment for those first year, few years. And, you know, I sometimes wish that people had a little bit more, a little bit less worry about something not working out, because you're given time in formation for it to work out or to not. So I think that's just a part of it. And so I walked in saying, I'm going to try this out. And if it works, wonderful. And if it doesn't, I'll be okay.
So you went straight from St. Pat, St. Vincent's to Moraga?
To St. Mary's College as an undergrad, yes. Yeah. And I joined the brothers after graduation.
And what led to that, to joining the brothers?
Seriously, it's just as I've explained, it was really a chance to say, as a young man of faith, as a young man who wanted to be a classroom teacher, I felt the duty to explore this and say, I'm going to give this a try. So, and again, I felt like I belonged immediately when I joined, and when I was sitting with the brothers and praying with the brothers and spending time with the brothers. You know, it's like that being brother just kind of comes out of you. You know, I think that's, again, that's the way God works. God works from the inside out, not top down. So I was assigned to a few of our district high schools. I worked for 14 years total at St. Mary's College High School in Berkeley. A wonderful, wonderful place that really formed me as a brother, because the students teach you how to be brother. They share with you their needs. They share with you their dreams. They share with you their struggles. And it brings brother out of you, I like to say. And I also worked for 4 years at Sacred Heart Cathedral Preparatory in San Francisco, another formative place for me. So, and then the brothers asked me, I spent time in the math department and the religious studies departments as director of campus ministry, retreat director, and the like. And then the brothers asked me if I might consider being a part of the communities here at St. Mary's College. I served as liturgical director for the Mission and Ministry Center here for 3 years. and throughout COVID partially, and then was asked to take on duties as vocation director. So that's a good short line of my resume.
So what's the most satisfying part of what you're doing now in terms of being vocations director?
The most satisfying, and I'm sorry, car alarm just finished. The most satisfying thing is to, I say, be free so that I can walk with people. Sometimes that literally means I walk with people. I walk with them in accompaniment and hear from them where they see God working in their lives. I get a chance to reflect back to them what I hear from them. And seriously, it's a ministry that I exercise with our young men in discernment, some students here at St. Mary's College, generally students here at the college, administrators. I find that just by listening, I learn a whole heck of a lot just by listening. And I think that sometimes that's something that we need to consider more as a community of humans on this planet, as a church, most certainly. I think we need to be open-hearted, open-minded, open ears to one another in ways that show people that they belong.
Yeah, very well said. Talk just a little bit about your role on the Board of Trustees at Christian Brothers here in Christian Brothers High School here in Sacramento.
Well, I mean, since I'm not chair, I certainly don't speak for the board, but we are a wonderful group of people who love Christian Brothers and who love the LaSallian mission so as to ensure that our LaSallian Catholic mission is at the core and the heart of every decision that we make, whether it be financial or directional or whatnot. I'm kind of, since I did my doctoral work in board governance, that's kind of the third wing of who I am. I've served on now 5 different boards within our province, and currently serve as the vice chair of the Board of Trustees here at St. Mary's College, which is itself a total amazing learning experience for me. So, so as a board, we deliberate. We hear from our administration and from teachers and from students about the work that they are accomplishing and where they feel that they need to grow. When the school and the board is doing their work the best, what it is we all see the same thing. We all see where we need to grow, and the board is there to really endorse and say, yes, you're seeing it, we see it too, and let's make sure that any and all obstacles are moved out of the way so that we can accomplish what we need to accomplish. The board speaks with one voice, so no individual trustee has a voice that directs our president. Mm-hmm. We sit, deliberate as a group, and decide together how we move forward as an institution that's been there for almost 150 years. You know, so it's a both and. It's a both and.
Very good. Well, Brother David, it is such a joy to talk to you. Thanks for taking the time to be with us, and
I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, I hope our paths cross again soon.
Absolutely. Let me know when I could be of service.
Great. Thanks so much, brother. God bless.
Okay.
That's Brother David Coretti, who is from the De La Salian Christian Brothers community, lives in residence at St. Mary's College in Moraga in the Archdiocese of San Francisco, and is also on the Board of Trustees of Christian Brothers High School here in Sacramento. We'll take a quick break. Back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy Ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates.
Hi, this is Katie Parada, Executive Director of Catholic Schools for the Diocese of Sacramento, and you are listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thank you, Katie, for that wonderful introduction and for all you do for our great Catholic schools here in the Diocese of Sacramento. Well, we're pleased to welcome in Father Ryan Marr, the pastor at St. Paul's Parish in the Knights Landing in Yolo County. Father, good day to you.
And good day to you. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. A little too excited. Happy Triduum to this.
Yes,
to the
happy
Sacramento
Triduum
people.
As we move very close to the Easter Triduum and then the glory of Easter Sunday. I get chills thinking about Mass on Easter Sunday.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it starts today for all of us, the beauty of Palm Sunday.
Yes.
For those who are celebrating Mass this evening.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Well, Father, tell us a little bit about yourself first and how you ended up at the beautiful, very small, but very beautiful St. Paul's in the great city of Knights Landing.
Yeah, so great. There's no stoplights or stop signs.
There's nothing.
Drive
you just
on through.
Go right through there on 113 and cross the Sacramento River, and you're in Yuba County. Is that right?
That's it. Yeah, I'm a native boy. Native boy, grew up in Grass Valley, mm-hmm. the beauty of the gold country.
Yep.
After high school, I entered into the United States Army, served with some wonderful, good, solid men and women in the armed forces. Got out, went off to the junior college up at the Sierra College. And that's a great experience. And then went to Chico State for a year, realized that that was not the place for me for for reasons. And worked in construction, saved my money up, and went to Franciscan University of Steubenville.
Oh, my goodness.
I had a fantastic time there. Great men and women of the faith.
That's quite a pattern there. That's a zigzag, if you will.
It doesn't end there.
Yeah. And so
I was running for my vocation, so of course I ran to Wyoming, where I was a cowboy for a while until I had my calling to the priesthood. And then I went from Wyoming to New York City to discern with the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal. And I was with them for 6 months until the good Lord gave me the encouragement and advice to come back home. So now by the glory of God, I'm a priest for the faithful here.
Wow. Where were you a cowboy in Wyoming?
Just a little town called Clark. It's just north of Cody. If you look at the state, we had a territory, the ranch had territory up in the Sawtooth Mountains. So
yes.
It would be riding and looking down at the Yellowstone Valley.
Yep.
So beautiful. Just beautiful terrain.
My wife's from Wyoming, so
No, sure.
I've visited in-laws up there many times, and it's there are more antelope there than there are people.
My little town, there were more cows than people.
Cows, yeah. Do they rustle the cows right down Main Street?
No, but we did have to cross a major highway to get from one side of the ranch to the other. So it was a big ranch.
Yeah, I remember in the old days when you'd be out on a country road, you'd go over a cattle guard right in the middle of the road, just those.
Right there.
Yeah, make all the noise on your tires, and you went, well, did I just hit something? What is that?
Yeah, the cow boss would give me the order to go up the highway to stop the traffic so we could cross the cows. Yeah. So that was...
Wow, that's
adventures out there.
That's quite the experience. So where'd you go to high school?
Nevada Union.
Okay.
Yeah, Nevada Union. Graduated in 97.
Wow, so. That's one of our historic high schools in this area.
Yeah, great football team.
Yes, always, yeah. Mm-hmm. What are they, the Miners?
They are the Miners, correct.
Yeah, so, wow, that is quite a path. Talk a little bit about Steubenville. So many people rave about Steubenville.
Yeah, so the best way I can describe this, and I hope they won't be too scandalized. I don't want to scandalize the audience, but I had the greatest of time out there. It was just a Catholic party for the time I was out there. And so I have to explain to you what a Catholic party looks like. So we as Catholics have the greatest of foods from around the world.
Sure.
From the French cuisine to the Italian to Mexican. And so you would be every weekend to look something like this. You would have a house party and it was just a blast. You would have the dining room just packed with all this glorious food that the Lord has blessed us with. In the living room, you would have all the furniture pushed aside and there would be dancing in the living room of swing dancing. And in the kitchen, you would have people praying over each other, asking for the Holy Spirit to guide people, to heal people. In the backyard, you would have guys drinking beer and whiskey and smoking pipe tobacco, and talking deep theology. And in the front yard, you would have very similar, but guys talking about philosophy. And so it was just a place to be alive in our Catholic faith. And I absolutely just loved it, encouraged everybody go there. It's just a beautiful place to encounter the beauty of the church, encounter the Holy Spirit, and just beautiful liturgy. So, yeah, I had a great time there.
Does the
great
community
friends.
In Steubenville embrace the university there?
When I was there... Yeah, there was no division. Uh-huh. If you know anything about Steubenville, it's a run-down steel town.
Right.
And so it's kind of a not to beat it up, but it's kind of a dirty place.
Probably very happy to have
but
the
I
university.
Think that's, yeah, but it's becoming alive. A lot of Catholic families are moving there, and it's becoming kind of the hipster district of our Catholic faith. So it's kind of a beautiful thing, a resurgence of the faith that is alive in a dark place.
So you decided to become a Catholic priest. What made you decide to be a diocesan priest and specifically in the Diocese of Sacramento?
So I've done a lot of mission work from around the world and third world countries and worked a lot with the poor. I find it easy to find Jesus in the poor, their struggles and just who they are. And so I felt I was called to be a Franciscan, to work with the poor. And when I was out in New York, I realized I loved it. And I was sitting down with Father Agostino's family that came out from Texas, and we were having lunch. And I was just sitting there at the table, just alive in their conversations and their day-to-day and their life and their struggles. And something moved inside of me where I desperately wanted to be with families. And I reminded of the good Lord's words, like you always have the poor. And so Mother Teresa's words of, you know, the West, we might be materially rich, but spiritually poor. And so I still have my deep roots, desire to serve the poor, but the greatest desire in my heart is to help Catholic families be Catholic and to stay together. As you know, that's one of the struggles in our world today.
Wow.
It's the family.
So where was your...
So I came home.
Yeah, so you came home. And then did you go to seminary in Menlo Park or up in Oregon? Or?
Well, I started at... I did 1 year at St. Patrick's in Menlo Park and enjoyed it. But I'm a country boy, and I love creation. And I asked Bishop Soto if I could do my major theology up at Mount Angel.
Yeah.
Up in Oregon at the Benedictine Monastery.
Such a beautiful place.
That was a Holy Spirit moment, and it was I don't like to live too in the past, but that was probably one of the greatest times to be with my classmates. I had a really solid group of men, and I'm an older vocation, and so I had guys older than me, a couple guys who were married, whose wives died, and some of the younger guys were my class, but everyone was about my age, and we just, it was a very smart and brilliant class, and we got along really, really well, and it in a certain way, it was a great, great experience. So, and the creation, the mountains, and it's the mountains and the farmlands, and the Benedictine lifestyle of just the constant prayer. Come on, the constant prayer. The monks are always praying, and you could join them at any time. And it's just glorious, absolutely glorious.
Yeah, I thought if I ever retired, which I don't plan to, Mount Angel mm-hmm. would be a great place to be. You got, like you say, you got all the fertile farmland and
a lot of people do.
Yeah.
And then, I think it's wise because... You get close to death, and death, you got to get your soul ready for heaven. And so a lot of people do that. They move up there towards the twilight years to get reconnected and deeper connection with God, who will enter into a deeper relationship with.
Could you see Mount Hood from your bedroom window?
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to think real quick of all the other mountains. I think Mount Rainier on a clear day.
Really?
There's a couple others. Yeah. I mean, it's a million-dollar view.
Great aunt was a school teacher who lived in Portland her whole life, mm-hmm. and she used to say, it's Has, H-A-S, it's Hood, Adams, and St. Helens on a clear day.
Yeah. You can see them all.
Yeah.
So the monastery itself is on a hill. Mm-hmm. It's 300 feet up, and then surrounded by farmland. So you're up above everything, and it's heaven on earth. Heaven on earth.
Indeed, and it's becoming wine country as well.
Yeah. Absolutely. And other things are growing out there.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
But yeah, it's surrounded by wine and hops as well. And
a lot of hops. Yep. A lot of hops.
A lot of hops.
And a lot of
to the glory of God. The monastery built they have their own brewery.
Yeah.
And they do really well in a brew house where you could go out there and meet the monks and have a good beer.
They're supposed to have a great Oktoberfest up there too.
If you want if you like a lot of people, I personally don't. But if you like the German culture and the German food and it's very lively and it brings in just a ton of people. So where
was your first assignment here in Sacramento?
To the glory of God, Bishop Soto, he's such a wise man. He knows our hearts really well, and he makes sure that our first assignment's always a good one. And so I was stationed up in the north, up in Reading.
Okay.
And it was absolutely fantastic. We had a school there.
You're at St. Joseph's?
St. Joseph's, yeah. Uh-huh. A lot of big Catholic families, and it was just a great time to experience and to bring the beauty of the sacraments to the faithful and to be enriched by the life of the church while being surrounded by the beauty of the mountains. So the mountains has been just an important part of my formation and who I am. I love them.
Yeah, Mount Shasta, there. Staring you in the face.
Yeah, Mount Shasta. Right. Mount Shasta.
And
absolutely.
Lassen.
And so.
Yeah.
And Lassen, which I've climbed up several times.
Have you?
Yeah, well, shout out to Father Raj up there. Went hiking up there with him, and Father Colin Wynn. And we've gone up there. So I've gone up there many times.
It's one of the
greatest time I went up there was. It was a moon night. So you go up there before the sun sets, and you get up there and you watch the sun set, and then you see the full moon rise, and it's like you're on a different planet. And then you walk down with a full moon, and you could see as clearly as you could if it's daytime.
Yeah,
absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The Lassen's one of those wonderful peaks that has a really good trail all the way up to the summit.
It is, yeah. I would like to say that it was a tough hike, but there was children that growing up it. So
yeah,
it
exactly. but it's beautiful, beautiful at the top. So
yeah.
And now you're at St. Paul's. And you talk about rural, and it's not the richest area of Yolo County. There is a lot of people living on the margin. But a beautiful parish, and talk about families. Boy, family values. I've been to Mass many times at St. Paul's, and it's just a really wonderful family feeling there.
Yeah, we have a lot of migrants here, Hispanics, and the beautifulness of their families. They work out the farms. And so, yeah, it's a poor area. And so the good Lord has always wanted me to work in a place that's a little not as well off. And so the faithful here they give. Oh, my goodness. They give in so many ways. And it's a beautiful thing to minister to them in that way. And farmers, as you know, are different than city folk.
Yep.
So they have their own ways, and it's beautiful to be able to be amongst them and to work with them. So
I remember St. Paul's.
Men of the Earth.
They used to have an annual dinner, but it was up in Robbins because that was where the biggest hall was. Just had went to that a couple of times, and they had the where they bury the beef in the ground and cook it for a couple of days and or overnight.
Yeah, don't speak up too loudly. My faithful, they haven't had a priest here since I got here. They haven't had a priest for almost 3 years, and so a lot of things went under the radar, and so that's one of the things that they want to revitalize, but little by little, the place needs a ton of work. And so we're putting my elbow grease and mowing hands in the reconstruction of the place and remodeling. And so it's little by little. We just, so proudly, we finally got our first website.
Oh, very good. Very good. So do you still have the mission of St. Agnes in Zamora?
Yeah, it's a small little place. They're always afraid of getting closed down. But the good seven souls that show up every Sunday, God bless them.
Yeah, did you have Mass there on Sunday or Saturday night?
Saturday. Saturday at 4:30. Saturday at 4:30. So if those are in the area, confessions 3:30 or 4:30, and then Mass at 4:30. And it's a quaint little place. No choirs, just me.
Now,
I've got the greatest of voice.
I remember taking my kids there a few times, and when they were little, and the little four of them, we kind of doubled the attendance, and they loved it because there's a little playground, not part of St. Agnes, but there's a little playground in Zamora with swings, and I don't even know if it's still there. And right behind the little hall, and they'd say after Mass we can go play,
praise the Lord.
Yeah, what a beautiful place, and all those almond orchards and everything else up there. So now you're going to be one of the in-resident priests at Camp Pendola.
Me and Father Dean Marshall. We're the men. We have a calling to work with the youth and to be out in creation. It seems second nature for myself. And so when Bishop Soto asked me to do it, my goodness, how could I say no? I get to sleep outside and eat bugs. You got it. I'm all in.
Wow.
Now, to be fair, they don't eat bugs, but But yeah, it's in my own backyard, so it's close to Grass Valley.
Yeah.
And I went there when I was a child.
Oh, did you really?
So to be able to go,
that was my next question.
I did. Yeah. And so I'm so connected to it. And I've had a couple of religious experiences when I was younger up there, that to be able to bring that to the youth is it's like reliving my glory days all over again.
Wow. Do you remember, did you make friendships? Sometimes you hear, I met somebody at camp when I was in third grade and we still communicate. Did you make lifelong friends there?
I did not make lifelong friends, but I remember there's a guy named Jacob, and I haven't talked to him since camp, but I still remember his face and the joy that we had when we were there. And I remember when he left, he came out on a bus, and he left on a bus, and I remember running by the bus, just jumping up and down to say goodbye to him. And it was a very impactful time for my youth to be there. And so I love it. Yeah, I love it.
And they've got the beautiful chapel there?
I wouldn't go that far. Bishop Soto is getting ready to invest into remodeling it. It does overlook the beauty of the trees. There's some beautiful.
Right. I guess it's a beautiful setting.
Scenery.
Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful setting. It does need a little bit of TLC, and so Bishop Soto is graciously going to invest into making it a more beautiful place. And so we, Father Dean, myself, and Jim Campbell, we put our ideas out there, what we would like to do and how we'd like to change it and how to make it a beautiful place to glorify God. And so he's doing it. And so I'm just so excited to be a part of that. And so praise the Lord.
So what would be your role as a chaplain there?
Multiple roles. So the biggest one is being that spiritual component, that spiritual head for the children, to be able to develop relationships with priests, to bring Christ and to reveal how Christ is in creation to the young, to the youth. Just to be that happy face who can play games with the kids and show them why Father Dean and I, we love creation. Whether it be the stars or the trees, the trails, just hearing God in the wind, and to reveal that to the youth and how it's been impactful for our relationship with God, is the biggest one. The second thing is to help the staff, the staff, they go through highs and lows, struggles with youth and some there's sadness and frustrations, and to be able to give spiritual direction and guidance to the youth and just be a sounding board for the staff, just so they feel free to be able to share their hearts with us, is the second thing. And I guess for the third thing is my own selfish desires, to be able to be in the woods again, for that summer, is a calling in my heart that I'm looking forward to recap into. And every time I go up there, I do get some downtime, just a little bit. And I always seem to pick up a great book. And so to be able to sit by the creek, and to listen to the water and read my book and have a beautiful, good cup of coffee is my own treat. So,
You painted quite the picture there about sitting by the creek, reading a book and drinking a cup of coffee. I may pull a chair up myself. That sounds
as long as you're on the other side of the creek.
Yeah.
I like my space.
Okay. All right. I won't infringe on it. So, Jen told me they're still looking for a cook. So you may be peeling potatoes or something too.
Well, I've been skilled in that from the Army. So I do help out as much as I can, and the staff needs help. I'll jump in, and Father Dean does as well. So we're utility players. We get out there, we do whatever the people need us to do, we'll do it.
You'll be on KP duty.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. That's a kitchen cleats for the lay folk.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly right. So, and Father Dean, he's like a astronomy expert, right?
Is he ever? He got sanctioned. He got licensed by the Vatican.
Really?
Be able to teach? Absolutely. He'd be a great guy to bring on the program as well.
Yeah, we're negotiating with his people to try to get him on. You know,
okay, that's good.
He's in such demand. You know.
Yeah. He loves the stars and the solar system. I remember I was out on a run late at night, and I was watching some formation in the sky. I had no idea what I was looking at, and so I gave him a call. He was on vacation, and he was in Scotland. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Dean, this is what I'm looking at. What is it?" He told me exactly what it was. And so
that does not surprise me.
Not at all. No. So he's a joyful man of the stars. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. I remember. I was the PA announcer for the annual priest and seminarian basketball game at Christian Brothers a couple of years ago.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And they said, "Well, we're gonna give you a partner this year." I do it every year, but he said, "We're gonna give you a partner this year." And I said, "Oh, good. Who's gonna be my partner?" I figured maybe it was one of the Kings or somebody, Steph Curry or somebody. It was Father Dean. And I said, "I didn't know you knew all about basketball." And he says, "I don't." So he just had such choice comments during the game. You know, it was hysterical.
Yes, he does. You know, so here's a beautiful thing. Father Dean and I, we were at Steubenville at the same time.
Oh, wow.
And absolutely, yeah, we were in the same household together, and it was that's what my first encounter with him. And so he's, if you see Father Dean Marshall, you'll understand he's not very athletically inclined,
right?
And so I got to teach him how to play volleyball, and so that was an ordeal of itself. So for him to be able to announce the game makes more sense than for him to be able to play the game.
I still laugh just thinking about it. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. He's a great guy.
A couple of my daughters came with me, and they said, "Who was that?" I said, "Oh, that's Father Dean."
It's Father Dean. Yeah.
That's all I needed to say. Yeah. Well, well, Father Ryan Marr, thanks so much for joining us. And maybe we, if the connection is good, we can get you back on when you're actually at Camp Pendola this summer, and you can tell us all about how it's going and how it is sitting by the creek and et cetera.
Yeah, absolutely. And if I guess just take a couple of just a quick moment, if your families and you're thinking about sending your kid off to camp, this is a great Catholic camp. That Jen Campbell, myself, and Father Dean, and by the gift of Bishop Soto, we're putting together a desire to bring kids have a great experience of camp with a Catholic worldview and spirituality, and to bring our love of creation, our love of Jesus to the faithful. So bring them out. They'll have great experiences, and they'll remember it. We have a lot of kids that come year after year because of that. And so,
yeah.
Have them come.
It's so well said, and it's been at the same site for over 60 years. Almost nothing in this world lasts 60 years like that. And the fact that it goes strong every year tells you they're doing something really right.
Yeah. Nice to be able to go to the old bunks that I used to sleep in, too. It was a very special place.
Yeah, so. Indeed. Well, Father.
Praise the Lord.
Blessings to you during Holy Week and as we move on to the Easter Sunday. And we'll look forward to maybe hooking up with you this summer.
I hope so. Yeah, blessings upon you.
Thanks so much, Father. That's Father Ryan Marr, the pastor at St. Paul's Parish in Knight's Landing. If you ever get a chance just going through Knight's Landing, just drop in and see that beautiful, very small church in Knight's Landing in Yolo County, right there on the Sacramento River. A great, great town with a lot of pride of community there and a lot of pride in that very small parish. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening. God bless everyone. Recognition for... This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Ministry of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates.
I feel burning deep inside of me. I feel your spirit is moving around. You're